Blog Talk Radio.
Please hang up and try again.
The music, you know, it's 11 o'clock at Thursday night on Kayak Fishing Radio. This is the Late Show, and I am your host, Rob DeVore, otherwise known as a Bad Batcast. And we're doing it's a Thursday night, man, and we're getting ready to go fishing this weekend, and hopefully you are too. Check me out, check out my blog at www.abadbatcast.com. Or all of the goings on at yakangler.com. So on the phone with me, though, is, as is per usual, the always dreaded and always popular fish-fearing redfish Chuck from the, yes, from there, from the wilds of Mosquito Lagoon. How's it going, Chuck?
It never gets old. It never gets old.
Don't worry. I'll get some for I'll get some theme music for Greg there too. And Greg Crisp, the Hammerhead from New Hampshire, writes the blog yakfish.net, is on the phone. How you doing, Greg? I think
pretty
it's Greg.
Good. How you guys doing?
All right. Pretty good so far, man. Here, I got an intro for Greg. Hold on 1 second. I'm just kidding, man. That wasn't the one I was looking for. But anyway, all right, man. I'm glad that you guys are here. So Chuck, is your big announcement on the down low? Or
Okay,
that's cool. You didn't get to tell me the whole thing. So later on, we'll... you know, I'll talk to you about it later. but anyway, your secret's safe with me. Well, let me see. I was out fishing last Friday night, and me and my buddy hit some dock lights, as is, you know how much I love fishing dock lights. And the first dock light that we came up on had about a half a dozen floating logs on it, okay? And if you don't know what a floating log is, well, that's exactly what these snook look like when they're up underneath a dock light like that. And they're just hanging out, anchored up real quick, did the toss, and with the DOA shrimp, natural color, and bam, this snook in the 40-inch range comes running out like a freight train and eats it. And... drug him out and had a little fight with him for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, nothing. Just like that, he was gone. I reeled it back in. I thought, man, what did he do? You know, did he wear through the leader? Did, you know, my line break, not come undone? You know, what happened? So I pulled it back in, and sure enough, the lure was still there. Everything was still intact. The hook was bent from a J to an L. You ever have that happen to you before, Chuck?
Yes, that's no fun.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, the thing was towing me. It was towing my kayak. It was towing my anchor was still down. It was still moving. Moving is pretty good. So that was definitely a beastie for sure. And it's not every day you hook up with one of those unless you're the mad snooker. So, and we tried for about an hour on those the remaining snook there, and they weren't having anything, man. So, but we did hook up with some really nice trout and had a really good night. So outside of that, that was, man, how do you top that? You know, except if I would have caught him, you know, right off the bat. So, but you'll have that. What kind of fish got you that way, Chuck? Do you know?
I've had big snook straighten out hooks. I've had the big dolphin straighten out hooks. I've had wahoo straighten out hooks. So yeah, it's not fun.
No kidding, Greg. You ever have that happen on like a big pike or a big muskie or something?
No, nothing like that. But I've had out west salmon in the Pacific and stuff having to really downsize hooks and stuff to tease them into biting, and you know, it's like showing up to a gunfight with a knife sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, great, they finally bit something, but
I was really surprised that my rod held up, because you know, I use these laminate glass rods, and they're definitely not known for their you know, they're okay, but man, something like that. And you know, I didn't have the drag locked down. I had it fairly tight because I like to be able to get the fish away from the structure, you know. But I've busted those rods before, like hanging up on the bottom and trying to get it out, and you know, the rod just folds up. So I was really surprised that the rod stayed intact and everything, you know. Stuff like that. When I'm knowing I'm going to get on something big like that, and of course, in, you know, saltwater fishing, you never know. You know, I'll gun it up a little bit. You know, I'll bring the big guns. But that was something, man. It's been a long time since I've been on a snook of that size, so that was definitely a lot of fun. And you know, I don't know. I was thinking about it for a while, and you know, so what kind of hook would you recommend that I replace on my DOAs? As much as I don't like to mess with them, what would you recommend?
To me?
Yeah, either one.
I would probably go with a circle hook.
A circle hook, really? Like a long shank circle hook or something?
No, short shank circle hook, and just hook the shrimp in the head.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. I fish a lot of my soft plastics that way when I'm fishing for snook. I like to fish snook with circle hooks.
Really?
I generally keep a lot of them. So, you know, I mean, I like to return them back to, you know, the natural resources, you know, as smoothly as possible. So.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you got Daryl from Angler to Angler in there in the chat room. Aaron's in there. What about you, Greg? What would you recommend on a replacing a DOA shrimp hook with?
Well, that's sort of a hard question because I've only fished with the DOAs for about 2 days.
I like the way that they come because, you know, if you go putting a heavier hook on there, it's going to affect the way that the bait, you know, how fast it sinks. And I'm not, you know, I like the way that it sinks now, you know, and that's why I never mess with them. And somebody was telling me that the mustads, they changed something about the mustad hooks, that they're a lot more brittle now for some reason. I don't know if they changed metal or they used to make them in Taiwan and now they make them in China or something like that. I don't really know exactly the story behind that, but that would probably be what I would use, because I use those a lot to tie in flies and stuff, you know. I think they're the 34-48s or something. I can't remember the number offhand. So,
yeah.
Landing Crew was telling me that, you know, that he wouldn't use those, but I've never had that, you know, I mean, I've had a hook bend out on me before, but it's been a long time. You know, so I and I've never had it happen on a DOA, so I don't know, man. That's I'll just have to do some research on that, I guess, man. So everybody, Chuck, you had some rough weather today, man. What happened?
Oh man, we got some nasty weather blow through. I'm actually outside right now, in my driveway looking over my truck, making sure I didn't miss any extra dings. The hail came down pretty hard for a good solid 45 minutes, so almost an hour.
No kidding. Seriously? How big?
Yeah. We had golf ball size hail and a few pieces a bit larger than that. So it was the truck took a little bit of a beating, not too bad. I was actually kind of surprised that I didn't get more damage than what I got. So, you know, all is well at the Levi household.
Hey, you know, I had a friend one time get a somewhere out in Orlando or something. They had a big hailstorm there a couple of years ago. And that dude ended up getting an Infiniti, a brand new Infiniti off of a lot. I guess a bunch of them got just absolutely hammered with, like, softball-sized hail. And that was the only problem with it. He got that thing for, like, next to nothing, man, like under 10 grand for a brand new Infiniti. And all he had to do was get the dings pulled out of it, man. I don't know about you, but I probably would have drove it around like that. It's not every day you see that kind of stuff. So, but cool, you got tornado warnings over there or anything?
No, we just had severe thunderstorm warnings for about half the afternoon, so it was kind of rough.
Yeah, well, they've been getting it up north, and I was really impressed with the fact that, you know, I love history and all that stuff, and I was the super outbreak of 1974, which happened up in the Midwest, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana, and they had 148 tornadoes in 18 hours, and that's like the record, and they're thinking also month of April that year. So they're thinking that this year they're about ready to break the mark at 292 already. So they're well past the mark and still going. Still got a couple of days left. So, but yeah, man, my prayers are with you for everybody up there experiencing all the bad weather, and stay safe, man. So anyway, so let's see what else is going on here. I'm going fishing. This weekend again, I'm going at night, but I'm hitting a new spot, so we'll see what happens with that. You know, it's funny. You ever have to interrogate your friends on, you know, you got somebody that tells you, my next door neighbor's son, you know, went to this spot here or there, and they catch redfish there all the time, or something like that. You know, and you're like, okay, where's that at? You know, and you find yourself looking on Bing Maps all the time, you know, trying to find this mysterious oyster bar somewhere there, you know. I don't know about you guys, but I use Bing Maps to scout spots a lot. Oh, man. So, anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, okay. Let me go back here. No, I'm not getting the Ranger Rick, but I do have an email bag here. So you want to help me with this email bag, any of you guys? Let's see here. Sorry, my BlackBerry's playing games. Okay. Dear Rob, what sort of reel would you recommend for somebody on a budget? My one reel is broke, and the other one is on its way to breaking. Tyler in Sarasota. Well, Tyler in Sarasota. That's a good question. Reels on a budget. Well, that's me. You came to the right place. That's me to the T. My reels are on a budget, and I use a Penn Silverado, which you can pick up at your big box store for about $32, and it's a pretty solid reel. It's not bad. Let's see, my other one is a Quantum Optics on my other rod, and that, I believe, is $19.99 at your always popular big box store. Both of those are not bad options. I have not had problems with them. I keep them lubricated and rinsed and cleaned up on a regular basis, so as long as you do that, it shouldn't be too bad. I think my Quantum, I've had it about a year and a half, and it's getting to be where it's the salt water's been hard on it. So it might be time to pony up another $20 for another one of those. But that's the good thing about those. The gears are pretty decent. It has an okay drag on it. You know, it's not the best reel in the world. I wouldn't, you know, I don't work for them or anything like that. We all know that by now. And
you're not a pro staffer for them?
No, I'm not a pro staff for them or anybody else. So on a budget, that's a pretty solid reel. It performs well and it works for me. The Silverado, it's going to be a Penn Silverado. It's not a bad reel. It's based on the, what's that other, there was a really nice Penn reel a couple of years ago that kind of took the world by storm, and they modeled it after that, and I can't remember the name of it. Captiva, maybe? I don't remember, but there was a really nice, super expensive Penn reel, and that was like the cheaper version of it. Silverado is good. I dunked mine a couple of years ago, and it hasn't been the same since, even though I've taken it apart and cleaned it up. But for $32, you can't go bad. And the good thing is, if these things turn out to be a piece of crap for you and they break or whatever, it's $20 for another one, so whatever, man. But that's what I would recommend. On my big guns, yeah, I'm using some Penn 6500s on my big guns. So, but those are, I don't think that you would consider those budget, as it were. But anyway, that's my take on that, man. Give it a shot. Those are two quality, halfway decent, cheap spinning reels for you. Chuck is probably going to tell you something else, but or Greg.
I run a tackle shop.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I know that you hate to hear that kind of stuff, but on a budget, I don't think you can go to your tackle shop and get a $20 reel. That's going to last more than a day.
Well,
you got any options?
We sell some reels that are what I like to call less expensive reels that are definitely for folks on a budget. Here's my advice to the emailer. The way I look at it is this. How many times are you going to go fishing in the lifespan of that reel? If you divide the cost of the reel by how many times you go fishing, if the reel costs you $1 a fishing trip, and it's a better quality reel than a throwaway model, it's worth every penny. I talk people out of buying $29 and $40 reels all the time in my store for the only reason that it just makes sense to spend the initial investment if you can.
Absolutely.
That's actually saltwater rated, and a lot of the reels that are under, I would say probably $79 through all the manufacturers. Doesn't matter if it's Shimano, Penn, Daiwa, Quantum, or so on and so forth. Most of those are not saltwater ready or saltwater capable. So if you're going to be fishing mainly saltwater, to me, it's like, I mean, I agree with you on some of the Penn stuff. It just makes sense. To me, I think the one reel that I sell a lot of to folks that are on a quasi-budget is a Shimano Seros. It's not a cheap reel. It's $129. So, I mean, it's not really a budget reel, I guess. But in the world of saltwater spinning reels, it's the budget reel of the saltwater spinning reels. I know Aaron bought a couple of them off me. I know I own five of them, I think, now. And I've never had a problem with any of them. And trust me, my reels go in the water all the time. So, that would be my advice. My advice would be to try and save up a couple extra ducats and try and get yourself the next level if you can. If not, then I totally agree with you, Rob. If you're on that kind of a budget, then those reels are fine and nice because they are throwaway models.
Yeah. Now I'm not going to go out and spend. You know, I'm not going to get one of those $14 plastic ones. You know, because, you know, the gears are going to strip out, one or two fishing trips, you know, maybe. So I definitely wouldn't recommend something like that. But I found, you know, I do agree with you. The Shimano's are definitely top notch, man. Those are definitely nice reels. You know, it's kind of like this. People have asked me before, you know, and it's the same thing with like fly fish and stuff. It's like the difference between, you know, an expensive reel and a cheap reel is it's kind of like, you know, do you want to wear a Casio watch or, you know, a nice Swiss-made, you know, Rolex? I mean, it's going to, you know, your Casio is going to die, you know, in a couple of years, or you change the battery out in it or whatever. But it's definitely like a fine-made watch, you know, and it's definitely it's made for catching, you know, big fish, and the drag isn't going to burn out on you after a couple of big fish take you for a ride. But you know, for me, the budget stuff works too, and like a lot of people, I'm on a budget too, man. So kudos, man. You know, definitely check those out, and if you can save some money and get something else or put it on your Christmas list or something, that's another good idea too. But I mean, I'm telling you, I've had my pens, my big pens, for probably 15 years, and those things are still going top notch. Love them all the way. Problem is, one of them, I lost the drag knob on the top of one of them, and I still can't find it. I took it into the shop, and I was trying to get an extra piece, and that was around the time that they were saying how the pen had just been bought by somebody else, and their parts were... You know, they couldn't find parts for stuff, and they didn't know where they were getting them from, and blah, 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 blah. So, I still need a drag knob for the one, though. Kind of sucks when you're trying to adjust the drag with your multi-tool. But, it's a good question. Well, hey, I've done it. Aaron's got three Saros setups, man. That's cool.
Yeah, man, I sold all three of them to him. He's a good American, that kid.
Okay. Here's another one. Okay, Rob, what sort of lights do you use when you go night fishing? Okay. Lights. You got a whole lot of options on there. You can get either a Vizipole or a Yak Attack. You might have to look online for that, either one of those. The Yak Attacks are actually pretty affordable, and the batteries last for a while on them. And, what else? The Vizipoles I'm not too familiar with, but I believe you can get a Vizipole with a light option. I like to go a little bit further, though, and I put a Coleman Mini Packer, it's called, battery-powered LED lantern on the bow of my kayak, and I put one on the stern. I put a box in my back tank well, and like one of those Tupperware, it's cool because I can fit all of my gear in it, number one, and number two, it acts as kind of, you know, it gets the lantern up off the water, and it makes me a little bit more visible, so... I use two of those, and the mini packers are really good on batteries, man. I highly recommend those. So batteries last forever in that thing. If you get a cheaper lantern, salt water's going to get to it. It's only going to last you a couple of trips. I've tried those. So spend a little bit of extra money on the Coleman mini packers, and you'll be all set, man. You can put them in little Tupperware containers too. That'll work, help keep the salt water off of them, and just bungee one down to the bow of your kayak and one down to the stern. Or get a Vizipole or a Yak Attack. That's what I would recommend for lights. Any of you guys have any suggestions?
You hit it right on, buddy.
Yeah. Greg?
Yeah. The both those are real good options. I really like the both of them. I went with I'm actually using a regular pole light from, you know, one of our full-size motorboat friends. That's mainly because I have a switch mounted up where I can easily get to it. So I have the light on when I'm paddling, you know, through a harbor or something. But when I pull up, you know, and decide to fish a spot, if I'm, you know, not in open water, I can turn it off because shallow water and lights can scare away some of the striped bass up here.
Ah, okay. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, I use it when I'm in open water, you know, for safety. But then, you know, when it's time to fish and, you know, I'm not worried about getting run over by anybody, I can just flip it off.
I wear a headlamp too.
Yep.
There's nothing. A couple of trips ago, I forgot mine. So I definitely, it was hard, man, tying knots and, you know, retying and stuff in the dark, fumbling around in my center console without my headlamp. So that was not a fun time. So definitely, you know, you can pick you up a headlamp for like $5 at Big Lots. You know, those things are great, man. They come in handy all sorts of places. So definitely get one of those if you can. Yeah, it's cool. Fish and Chef uses a Yak Attack and a headlamp and reflective tape on his paddle. Well, that's a good idea, man. It's all about being visible. You know, you don't want to be out on the water somewhere and, you know, you got some people in a boat. And, you know, me and my buddy, we fish at night a lot. And one thing I can say is that it's hard to... even all lit up like that, you know, if I look over at him, he kind of blends in and to the background lights, you know, even with three lights on him, too. So one thing I would suggest is getting a red light option on your headlamp. A lot of them come with that option. Mine does, and I like to, it makes it more visible from a distance. You can see that red light a little bit better, and it makes you go, wow, okay. So, you know, that's all about being visible. There's plenty of dock lights out there that you can fish by, so you don't have to worry about using it to catch fish or see what you're doing, but definitely the headlamp helps you see what you're doing, and the other two lights help make you visible to passing boaters. So it's all about safety. Get you some lights and fish at night, man. So that was from Redfish Jax from Jacksonville. So there you go, man. And if you want to ask me a question, email the show. It's rob@abadbatcast.com. So send me an email, man. So far the email bags have been getting a couple more and more every week, man. So that's good. Send me your questions. Or if you have any questions for Redfish Chuck or Greg, or the landing crew, or any of our regulars, give us a shot. They'll be more than happy to answer any questions you got. So, let me see. Okay, got one more. Okay. Dear Rob, what sort of kayak would you say I need for fishing rough water in the Great Lakes? And that is from Great Lakes Tommy. P.S. Love the show. Thank you. Well, Great Lakes, Tommy, I've never fished the Great Lakes before. Well, yes, I have. I'm sorry. I take that back. I have fished Lake Ontario before. And I know it does get rough up there. Good rough water kayak. I like mine for a rough water kayak. Malibu Stealth 12. It handles pretty good in the rough stuff. Let's see. Rough lakes. Greg. Rough water kayak. What do you think?
Uh-huh. Well, the Malibu, you know, I'm in an X Factor as well. And I fish a lot of rough, windy conditions and venture into big open waters. A lake I usually spend a week on in the summer is 32 miles long and up to 4 miles wide with heavy boat traffic. You know, and we can see, you know, 3-4 foot boat wakes coming from you every direction. My Malibu suits me well on that. I've also been out on that lake. I've demoed the Hobies. Are also a real good stable boat in rough water.
The Hobie Pro Angler looks like to me like you could just can go anywhere in that thing.
Carrier.
Yeah, for sure. Chuck, any recommendations on a rough water kayak for the Great Lakes?
I'm going to go kind of old school, the Ocean Kayak line. Those boats were designed to fish out on the ocean for the Pacific guys, and, you know, I mean, honestly, you really can't beat them as far as a stable fishing platform for rough water.
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing I noticed about ocean kayaks that I really like is you can do just about anything with those things. And, you know, and it seems like it's a pretty good, you know, once again, there's no perfect kayak for every situation, but those are pretty well-rounded boats right there, man. I like that one I paddled over at the lagoon. So,
that's
that's not
what I started out in.
Did you?
Yep.
Now, it was a little bit tippy for me, you know, because I'm so used to mine. And, I mean, mine, God, I could lay down sideways in that thing probably. Haven't tried it, but, you know, every time I had to reach in the back of that thing, it felt like it was getting kind of tippy. So that was like the only issue I had with it. But I think that kayak was only 28 inches wide or so. So
yeah, was that the Prowler 13 that you had?
Yeah.
Yeah, the molded and put wells.
Yes, I hate it. I hate those.
Yeah.
I call them ankle bangers.
Yeah,
you know,
that
like
was
where
my
you,
first one.
I mean, you ever hit that bone on your ankle, like on the outside of your ankle? Yeah, well, that's what those molded footwells are built for. I'm sold on that, man. And, yeah, that doesn't feel too good when you do that, man.
Yeah, the Tridents are a little more stable than the original Prowler 13s were.
Yeah.
They're a little bit wider, and they don't have those molded-in footwells, but they're fast compared to our Malibus.
Definitely. They are definitely.
Water.
But I noticed it did handle the slop pretty well up in at Mosquito Lagoon. When we were there, it was a little bit rough and choppy and windy, and handled perfectly, man. I didn't hardly get wet in that thing either. So,
yeah.
Yeah, those are a couple of options for you, Great Lakes Tommy. And I hope that helps, man. And thanks for emailing the show. And let us know what you get, man. Give us a shout-out and jump in the chat room one day, man. And that's awesome. So let me see. Okay, we got on the tournament. What's the tournament trail section of the show here? got, of course, the always popular Jamaica Bay kayak fishing tournament that that Greg is fishing in there, actually. And that's going to be May 12th through the 15th, is it?
Yep. Yeah, Friday through Sunday.
Yep. And that is in Jamaica Bay. Is that New York or New Jersey?
That's Long Island, New York.
Excellent. So if you're interested in that, go to jbay.com or just Google Jamaica Bay. And Benefits Casting for Recovery. And that's an excellent tournament. Last year they had 350 kayaks out there, and it was on ESPN and everything else. So I couldn't imagine doing show. I can't imagine seeing 350 kayaks out on the water, man. That would be amazing. And another one, there's a tournament this weekend down at River Palm, which is on the east coast of Florida, and it's a DOA tournament, and DOA, and I can't remember who the other ones are, but you can win a fishing trip with Mark Nichols from DOA. I believe that's one of the prizes. So check that out. You can get that on the Snook Foundation's website under News and Notes. That's where I found it. So I'm excited about it. So tell me, who's going fishing this weekend, man? I'll let you go first, Greg, because you're always excited to tell me about your fishing trips. You going fishing this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to head out. I'm going to try to, Andre and I are going to try to hit a trout pond and see if we can't get some trout.
Awesome. And that's cool. That's up in New Hampshire. Is Andre up there in your neck of the woods?
He's just across the border in Massachusetts.
Ah, okay.
So he's just a little bit south, half an hour south of me, so.
Does he know where Bahaba is?
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows
I'm
where that
kidding.
Is, Rob. That's up in Maine.
I'm just kidding with you, man. Okay, well, that's awesome, man. Well, good luck, man. I hope you guys knock them dead, man. What about you, Chuck? You got any fishing plans going on? You going offshore again?
No, it's going to be too rough, but I am going to go fish for flounder inside the port.
Oh, cool.
That'll be on Sunday. Saturday afternoon, I'm going to take my son, who's not two yet, to go down to a local pond and catch his first ever fish.
Oh, cool. So is it, they have like a little flounder spot there or something?
Well, no. Where I'm going on Sunday is where the flounders are at. I'm
oh, and you're taking him somewhere else? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to catch a brim or something. I mean, he'll be two the end of May, so, I mean, he's almost due. So there you go.
That's awesome.
Got to get him started early. Got to get started early on world domination.
I'm telling you, you'll remember that the rest of your life. I can, as far back as I can remember when I was, God, probably 3 years old. You know, that was some of my earliest memories was my parents, you know, we used to go fishing a lot. And we'd fish for bass in these old, they were like transportation canals in Ohio, in like southern Ohio. And, God, I remember, you know, that was some of my earliest memories, man, was catching fish, watching my mom and dad catch fish. We used to use hand lines to try to catch, you know, bluegills and things like that. Or we'd go to lakes, and I remember catching a big, you know, God, come on, I'm three, so I caught a big old catfish. It was probably a 12-inch catfish, but on a hand line on a dock. he'll remember that the rest of his life, man. That's the kind of stuff, you know, unless he absolutely hates it. But as long as you catch a couple of fish, I don't think they'll mind at all.
It's in his blood, dude. He was born a fisherman. That ain't gonna happen.
Well, you never know. I saw Steve Gibson last week from Shallow Pockets down in Sarasota, kayak charters. He took his son fishing. I don't know if it was his first fishing trip or not, but they caught a couple of nice bass there at the little local bass lake or retention pond or golf course lake or whatever. And that was cool, man. The smile on that kid's face was a mile wide. So definitely take your camera. I'm excited about man. That'll be cool
sure.
to see.
For sure. And by the way, Steve Gibson is a good dude, man. If you want to hire a guy to take you fishing over there on the West Coast, he's the man.
Yeah, him and Gibby, the other Steve Gibson from Southern Draw Kayak Fishing. That guy definitely knows how to. Him and Rick Grassett were out catching tarpon the other day. So that's on fly. Right there in the bay, so the tarpon are back. So that's always good to see. And that guy's a heck of a photographer, too, man. So either of the Steve Gibsons down in Sarasota area, if you're looking for a good kayak guide, give him a holler. So doesn't that seem weird to you? I mean, that always struck me as weird. There's two dudes named Steve Gibson that live in Sarasota that are both kayak angling guides. I kind of thought that was always strange to me. You know, what's the coincidence? That's a coincidence, you know.
Yeah, kind of funny.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm a weird dude. Now, let me ask you guys this. I don't know if you saw my post on yakangler.com, but I was, saying, hey, you know, everybody loved the President's Day boondoggle, and yes, I know about my spelling error. Sorry, but anyway, you know, we were everybody was talking about it, and you know, Mark was saying, "Hey, let's go to the Keys next time," and blah blah blah. And problem is with fishing in the Keys or camping in the Keys, it's so hard to get a spot down there. And if you can, you have to book that thing like 12 months, 10 months in advance. And it's really hard to get a spot down there, you know, enough spots for 20 or so people. So I did some digging, and I found two spots in that area that we could actually go, and everybody could go, and it would probably be a better deal, and it would be easier to organize. Is they have a group campsite right there at John Pennon Camp Park. I don't know how much it is. They didn't have a price on how much it is. But in most Florida state parks, it's $3 to $5 a day per person. And it doesn't have electricity or anything, but it does have running water, and it does have a fire ring and picnic tables and the whole nine yards. And they can fit up to 24 yak anglers there. So that sounds like a pretty good deal to me, you know. If we could just put together the dates and everybody save up their vacation time, it'll be an awesome time. So, you know, what do you guys think about that, man? Would you go on a trip like that, Chuck? Bring the fam or anything like that?
I'd love to take the wife down to the Keys, man, for a couple of days just to get out of the monotony of everyday life up here. But with the little ones, I don't know that next year will be an option for us. We'll just have to see. But no, I'm definitely down if I can convince one of the sets of grandparents to watch the kids.
Yeah, you know that. And the other option was Key Biscayne, and the name of it's like Bill Baggs State Park or something like that. They also have a group camping area there, which is like the only camping that they have there. And Biscayne Bay and Key Biscayne and all of that is right there. So that's a pretty cool. It's right off of South Miami there. So that's another option if we can't do Pennon Camp. So, you know, if Greg, you going to drive down to the Keys this time?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to drive down. I'm not sure my whole family's going to drive with me. They want to fly.
Okay, well, hey, you can always fly them into Miami, and, you know, if we're going to do Pennon Camp, fly into Miami, and that's a lot closer than flying into Key West, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, so, but no, after this, after the last boondoggle, my wife told me I had to buy her a kayak, so.
Oh, nice. Did you get one yet?
Actually, we ordered one about a month ago, and I just got a call this afternoon that her new Wilderness is in. So.
Oh, cool. So you're going the Wilderness route, eh?
Yeah, she tried out a few and picked up the Tarpon 140. Or, sorry, 120.
Oh, okay.
Very nice. 120 was a little bit wider, and she felt more stable in it, so.
That's not a bad. That's not a bad boat.
Yeah.
That's what the Clone drives, man. The Clone drives one of those. But I was looking at it, and it didn't look like a bad boat at all. I've never paddled one, but the landing crew has a Wilderness too, and he loves that thing.
Yeah, it looks like it's real well put together. It's a solid boat.
Yeah.
It's got a great reputation, so.
That's cool.
So they're all now we got to figure out how to fit four kayaks on top of the car.
Oh, you can do it. Either that or build you a trailer like Mark did.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on a roof rack. It should be up probably after the weekend up on Yak Angler.
Oh, cool. You built one?
Couldn't bring myself. Yeah, built one out of some aluminum railing parts. It's actually, think I'm going to have a rack that I can fit four kayaks on for under $200.
Wow, that's awesome.
So.
The, Jason Self is saying, Thule stackers. Yeah, right. Yeah. Those things are, I looked into a Yakima rack, system, and, it was pretty pricey, man, I gotta say. I mean, they had some really nice options on that thing, but, I was looking at like $600 or $700 just for the rack.
Yeah,
and I was like, man.
Yeah, I think I found a good way. It's all solid aluminum. It's basically the parts that they make railings out of.
Yeah.
And it's roughly the same size as the Yakima bars. So I'm right now. I have the crossbars I made mounted on with a couple of old feet I had laying around from an old rack.
And, oh, that's cool.
Looks pretty slick, and it's all shiny aluminum.
And it's probably going to stick out wider than the vehicle, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's basically, I have it as wide as the mirrors on the truck. So it's like 7'6" wide.
That's awesome. You ought to be able to fit four kayaks on there.
Yeah, I'm thinking I can get it, so.
Or, you know, just get four mini X's and you can stack those up. Done. No, actually, that's if for anybody in the know, if you ever need to get a whole bunch of kayaks together, that's one way to do it right there, is to get mini X's. Malibu mini X's, and you can stack those bad boys. So it's always an option for you, man. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm all about the options. So anyway, that's cool. So anyway, Jason Self, he lives up there in the Pac Northwest, up there around Isaac. And I believe he's doing a film. And I'm sure that he's going to put the link up here on the chat room here in 1 second so I can tell everybody about that. And there was this, what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so yeah, what do you think about that, Greg? What do you think about shooting for President's Day again? Or, you know, what do you think about that? What works for you on that?
Well, President's Day sounds good. Good to me. My kids normally have the week after off.
Awesome.
Normally about late February, we're looking to escape the snow. I'm thinking I'm probably going to extend it because I'm going to drive down again and probably plan on stopping up in Chuck's territory there and do a day or two there on the way up or down and maybe hit a couple of other spots on the West Coast, out by you or something, you know, at the same time heading in the other direction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Come on over.
try to do a week or, you know, few extra days before and after.
Yeah.
And then let my family, you know, fly.
Well, that's easier. That's definitely easier. But, man, those are always fun, man, those kind of trips, man. Being in the car for 25 hours and stuff, you know? I mean, that's great. Might take you a little longer to get here, too, you know? Didn't you guys drive straight through last time and you were, you know, switching back and forth with your wife driving and stuff?
Yeah, it was like, how long were we in the car? It was like 20 hours or something, driving straight through to get down there. Don't think we'll do that again, but...
Wow, yeah, that was
a long trip.
That's a rough, I've done that before, man, from New York, from upstate New York, so that's definitely not a lot of fun for sure. But yeah, man. So I'm waiting to hear everybody's take on that and whether or not they want to stay at Pennant Camp and maybe make it a couple of extra days this time instead of just, you know, 3 days, man. It's like I didn't even get a chance to hardly talk to everybody because, you know, it's like we're getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, launching kayaks, you know. We go out, we fish all day, and then we get back at like dark, and it's time to go to bed because we got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to Mosquito Lagoon, you know. So, you know, I'd like to take a couple of extra days down there, myself. But I checked all the other parks in the Keys, and out of all four parks, you know, that you can camp at in the Keys, those were the that was the only one that had the group camping.
Well, the other thing I used to do when went camping with large groups of friends is, you know, if we had, you know, 10 campsites that we were filling up, we would all pitch in and buy an extra campsite and set that up as, you know, that's where our fire ring was set up and our kitchen and our food. And
yeah.
So we had plenty of room to all mill around just one campsite for, you know, the central location, and then the tents were spread out.
That's a pretty good idea. But this is, it's one big campsite for, they say it holds up to 24 people. So I think that's pretty cool. So, Chuck, you got camping gear?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? When was the last time you were camping?
Oh, man, I haven't been camping in forever. Probably before. Actually, I could tell you when. It was the week before I went in the police academy, and that would have been in 2001.
No kidding, really?
Yep. Yeah, but I
didn't know that.
Man.
I didn't know that you were in the. I didn't know that you were in the police academy.
Yeah, I was a deputy sheriff for almost 6 years.
No kidding. I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, no, man. I grew up camping. Shoot, I bet you there's. I know for a fact there's not a state on the Eastern Seaboard I haven't camped in, or at least stopped in and spent the night somewhere. When I was a kid growing up, that's all we ever used to do, big family affair. We'd get all my aunts and uncles and my cousins and stuff all together, and we'd go camping all over the place. So, you know, in fact, I crossed the Delaware River in an inner tube with one of my older cousins when I was, like, maybe 9, and that was, like, the highlight of my camping experience.
That's awesome. That's cool. Well, we have a blast on these Yak Angler kayak fishing radio camping trips, you know, and it's a lot of fun getting everybody together. You know, these are people that we jaw with back and forth with on Yak Angler all the time. So it's almost like you know each other, you know, and then you get together and you know, tell a bunch of funny stories. And I swear, though, man, I think me and Greg were like the only ones that weren't in the Marine Corps. I mean, I think even Greg's wife was in the Marine Corps at some point, but no, I'm kidding.
She was just raised by one.
Yeah, see, so same thing. So it was like Marine Corps all the way around. And I think that's cool, but it's like I don't have any Marine Corps story. Well, you know, my dad was a Marine, but I don't have any Marine Corps stories, you know, and they're sitting around telling all these stories about their, you know, in their boot camp and this and that and the next thing. And we had a blast, though, man. It's these events are a lot of fun, and I love getting together with everybody. So definitely weigh in on that, and that is on yakangler.com. You know, where do you want to go for the next yakangler.com? And, you know, there's no rule. There's not a Florida rule, by the way. I just want to say that. I'll be more than happy to go somewhere else, anywhere, you know, to go fishing. And as long as I can either get there by car, plane, whatever, somebody has a kayak for me to fish out of, man, just say the word. I'll go fishing up there, Greg, with you guys, man. If you decide to throw together a yakangler.com event up there. But it's got, I'll tell you, it's got to be like in the summer. And it's got to be like the hottest weather that, you, like the hottest 2 weeks of the year that you guys get up there. You know,
yeah,
those 2 weeks, cold. Those 2 weeks that are, you know, when it's above 50.
Yeah, I think it's the last week of July, first week in August. You'll have to limit yourself.
Yeah, That's pretty, man, trust me, I know. I lived up there, so it's, me and the cold definitely don't get along. But, anyway, yeah, so if it's President's Day, though, everybody wants to, you know, by that time, you all are sick of snow and cold weather anyway, so you all want to come down here. And, you're more than welcome, man. I think that's awesome. But, Jason Self, now Jason has, a Facebook page here, and it's on the, chat room. It's facebook.com/golfkayak. And I'm looking at that right now. And he's putting together a film and about the effects on the environment from the chemical dispersant released when the Deepwater Horizon happened, which was, I think last week was the anniversary. So it's the project is dubbed Out of Sight, Out of Mind. And it looks like an interesting idea in a film. And apparently they're all doing this through kayaks and surfing and all sorts of stuff like that. November 1st, they're going to spend a week in each of the following locations. Camping, touring, recording, hopefully fishing. Oh, yeah, there it says fishing in their kayaks. That's awesome. Padre Island National Seashore in Texas. Delta National Wildlife Refuge in Louisiana. Gulf Islands National Seashore in, what is that, Missouri? Or no, that's Mississippi. Sorry. Fail. No. Everglades National Park. Awesome. You'll love that place. And Key West, Florida. I think that's awesome, dude. Spend some time, get it on film, see what you know, I'm interested to see what you guys reveal, man. Sorry, I love documentary films like that. I've been like, oh, I love history and stuff like that, and lately I've been getting my my Civil War thing on, my Gettysburg thing going on, so don't mind me and my nerdy history. But, no, that's awesome. And I can't wait, you know. Hey, come down here, you know, fish around here. I'll take you out fishing. I know I really shouldn't say that, but you're more than welcome, man.
Are you trying to be a guide again, Rob?
No,
Stop taking money away from guides.
Yes, I know.
You're a horrible individual.
I know. I'm terrible. But anyway, check that out. Out of Sight, Out of Mind, Facebook, Golfcast, Golf Kayak. And make sure you like their page. It's a pretty well put together Facebook page there. And let me jump back on the chat room here. Oh, Jason also says they're about to start a contest with Facebook fans with prizes from Cocotet. Did I say that right? Keen, yeah, man. I love Keen. And Werner. So that's awesome. Kayak fishing their way across the Gulf. That's awesome. Yeah, man. Looking for kayakers and yak anglers to hook up with. Going from Texas to Key West. Now, I'm just going to ask you real quick, and you can type this in the chat room, Jason. excuse me. Are you guys touring that whole thing? I mean, you're paddling that whole way from Padre Island all the way across to the Keys? And we'll wait a second, because I'm thinking, man, that would be a pretty long haul, man.
Yeah, that would be a massive undertaking.
You'd look like the Incredible Hulk by the time. At least your obliques would. No, I think that's awesome, man. That's quite a tour. I would love to do a tour like that, man. So videotape it, or, you know, videotape it. Listen to me. Film it. I think that's awesome. Oh, no, they're driving between locations. What? Oh, come on, Jason. Tour it, man. Do the whole thing. Yep. Pack up all of the stuff in the kayaks, man. Be like Kayak Kevin does, man. Yeah. I know, but could you imagine how awesome that would be? There's like, yeah, that's more than 300 miles, Chuck.
Yeah, well,
from Padre Island. Yeah, that's a long haul, man. I would definitely, that would be awesome. But, yeah, you would need, man, your arms would be just gigantic. Oh, that's cool. A week in each location, that's awesome, man. Those are some, 4,000 miles. Holy crap. Wonder how long that would take you to do. That would be insane. I'd like to, I'd do it in 4,000 miles, he says. That's awesome. All right, man. Well, listen, we're getting to the end of our show. And you guys got anything to add here before we kick off and tell everybody to go to bed?
Nope,
you guys are good. You guys, okay, well, if you're fishing this weekend, I think that's awesome. Everybody in the chat room, Aaron and Greg Rogers and Jason Self, y'all, thank you for coming on. And, you know, we're here every Thursday night. And also, I've been hearing a rumor that the Late Show might not be so late after all, and it might be on another night in time. So let me know. Let me know what you think, if you like coming on at 11. I would love to do an earlier time slot, but we'll see. So might try it out for 6 months and see what the numbers look like. So anyway, that's just another rumor. But anyway, we're at the end of our show, and thank you guys for coming on. And I'll see you guys next Thursday. Take a kid fishing. And until then, check me out at abadbackcast.com and yakangler.com. There's no other site on earth for yak anglers like yakangler.com. So check it out. Chuck, Greg, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me anytime.
Yep. And let me know how it goes, Chuck, with your boy, and put some pictures on your Facebook page, man. Love to see that.
I will.
That's
for
awesome.
Sure.
All right, man. Well, happy fishing to you guys, and I'll see you next Thursday.
See ya.
Bye.
See ya.
All right. You've been listening to The Late Show on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. Until next week, I'm Rob DeVore, your host, and have a good week. Get out fishing. See ya.